What's up, dude? How are you?
I know it's been a while. It has been a while. I'm good. I am excessively sore and my body's like kind of beat down. I started doing some cardio, not to lose weight, not to do any of that. Surprisingly, which I know a lot of people will be like, "Oh my God, you're doing cardio." Like a lot of people have asked me, they're like, "Oh, are you gonna prep this year? Like, I see you're doing cardio." I'm like, Jesus. But I'm actually doing cardio because my training endurance sucks a lot. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Mark Tominek at one point told me, like, I have the endurance of Shaq because I don't know if I've ever, like, I've sent you videos of me. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but like, I'll take off running out of the gates. Like, I'm like, oh, I got this. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm fully charged. Like, the first two reps, three reps are like solid. Like, it looks like I'm gonna go for like 12 or 15 reps. And then I go down for that fourth rep and I'm gassed. Like, it's just like done. Yeah.
Wow.
It's the craziest thing. It's, I mean, I don't know exactly like when it started going on because I used to train like what do they call that? Like, is there a name for that when it's like you do a bunch of like high reps, really low volume? Like, you know how they say cardio bunny? Is there like a name for that? I
You
can't.
said high reps.
Like low weight. Like I was just like always like kind of like diddy bopping around, but like I don't know. You're probably a bad
I
person
would
to
say more like glucose intensive stuff. That would be like how I would phrase it.
Yeah, but like, you know how there's like, I just didn't know if there was like a cute, funny little name for it in terms of like.
Like metabolic work is, I feel like, what is the proper term, but like, I couldn't tell you. Like a Instagram marketing, other than like metabolic glucose intensive work, where it's just like a bunch of like high rep
Yeah.
stuff. But I feel like there is a name for it, but I just.
Yeah, I can't think of it either. But anyways, so I never really had like the luxury or understanding of like training hard. And I just like don't know like where this shit ass endurance came from. But anyways, I've been adding in cardio. And since it's not my favorite thing to do, I've been like really hauling ass on it, and it's like really impacting my recovery. So my body feels pretty beat down. So I went and did some contrast therapy this morning between cold plunge and sauna. In the facts that I hope that that's gonna help me feel a little bit better.
I love that. Well, I'm glad that you're doing like some recovery stuff. And yeah, that like cardiovascular work, like I feel like it gets really slept on, especially in the off season, because it's like, yeah, I get from like a recovery standpoint, maybe you need to like keep it in, but make it maybe a little less challenging so that way it doesn't take from away from your lifting performance. But in terms of like metabolic health and like at the level of the cells, which I know is like dork speak, but still it's like that cellular respiration and that metabolism is really important when it comes to growing muscles, especially when it's like, you know, you have different types of muscle fibers, like type one, type two. And it's like, that's why programming a variety of rep ranges, I feel like, can is really, really impactful. And that's like a camp, if you will, that I like to consider when it comes to programming, like, you know, any type of training program with obviously the respect of like, does it make sense? So, for example, I'm not about to fucking program like 20 reps for a back squat, which is very technically, you know, challenging, but something that you are safe and like locked in, like an abduction machine, or, you know, maybe if we're thinking like arms or something like that, which can handle a lot of volume, like, yeah, like not being afraid to utilize those higher rep ranges, but then just again, keeping in mind like client enjoyment and also time factoring. Because like that is also important to consider.
Yeah, I remember this one time like years ago, I had a different coach and I had like pyramid programming for hip thrusts all the way up to like 25 reps. And then
I've
like
done that, but not for as high as 25. Like I might do like six to, I might do like, you know, 10 to 12. How do I do it? It's like starting off like higher, and
and then
then it's more of like the higher is more of like a warm up.
yeah.
Right, where you're not going till failure, but then like 6 to 10, like a heavy hip thrust was it with a couple of reps in reserve, but then doing like either full on other working sets or even just like a fun drop set. So again, keeping in mind where you are getting that effective, you know, tension, which is what we're trying to get, and that effective progression in terms of the logbook, but then still getting like that metabolic stimulus too, which does have its benefits.
Yeah, it was just like asinine when I was doing it. I was like, because it was like 8 reps, 10 reps, 12. I think it went up by two. So I was doing like, and this was like the first exercise this lift, dude. So maybe my endurance sucks now because I don't do that anymore. But speaking of that, like it also could probably because I do sit behind a desk more, even though I get like the same amount of steps as I was, but like it's, I don't know. Like I used to stand a lot more and move and like go in and out of rooms per like me just sitting at my desk and then going on like a long walk in the afternoon. So I'm sure that may have like a little bit of a factor to play into it. But what's been going on with you? It's been a while since we recorded, but like what
Yeah,
have you?
like I'm here. Like prep is prep. It's one of those things where it's like you're in it and you're in it, and that's just where I'm at. Like, I don't know, I'm having like digestive issues and like that's never fun, but like it's something where I've decided to make things not unnecessarily more difficult, but trying to heal my central nervous system and let go of my perfectionist tendencies while I'm in prep. Because if you've never prepped before, like you and I have chatted about, like what comes to light is exposed with prep. And so it's like I've always struggled with this, but now it's like now that you're like on and you're like constantly on, it's one of those things where it's like that dial is like almost fucking broke because you've drifted all the way up to like past 100. So it's one of those things where, yes, I'm still doing a lot, but I'm also trying to learn to bring my body down and doing a better job of incorporating things like meditation and reading and to not have like multitasking, which again, it's difficult because in my brain, in a perfectionist brain, you think 1 + 1 = 2. And in reality, it doesn't because your body is imperfect. The brain is imperfect. The world is imperfect. And so I've definitely been struggling with the idea of like, oh, I eat nourishing foods, therefore I shouldn't have tum-tum troubles. But in reality, it's like I'm literally just picking one variable and looking at it and being like 1 + 1 = 2, completely ignoring the fact that I do push myself very hard in the gym. I am doing a lot of cardio. Like stress is something that accumulates over time. And especially since I didn't do the best job learning to slow down. And back when I was really into the more self-help stuff, I even like the book that I'm reading mentioned, it's like, oh, you think you're cured. And then you stop doing what was working and helped you to feel better. And then you revert back to your old habits. And that's very common in perfectionist tendencies. Very similar as like, Ash, you're a nurse. It's like if someone were prescribed antibiotics for something. And they start feeling better after, let's say, a few days of antibiotics. Well, they're like, oh, I'm cured. And so they stop. But then what
Yeah.
happens?
I
The
see you
bacteria
then.
isn't fully dealt with. The symptoms were, but that bacteria wasn't fully killed off. So then what happens is the bacteria grows and gets stronger. It evolves to where it's now resistant to that
It was,
antibiotic.
yeah.
And that's kind of like what perfection is right now. So it's like I'm hurting, like my tummy doesn't feel good, my mood is a bit more flat, but I also know that this is part of it, right? And even like Austin was saying, he's like, no one said this was going to be easy. And so it's learning to take what I'm feeling and not assign blame to myself, right? And so it's really good to have self-awareness, but my self-awareness gets skewed where I automatically pass judgment rather than being curious. Right. And so it's something where it's like, because I'm not feeling good, I think I'm bad. I think I'm fucking up. But in reality, if you look at what I'm doing, I am checking off my boxes as an athlete. You know, I'm doing all of the things that Austin has programmed for me. So I'm not bad, but my body's having a hard time. So it's kind of learning to take what you are feeling and being curious about it versus automatically assigning like self-blame and like passing a judgment. So that's kind of like where I'm at, if that makes any fucking sense.
That is so crazy that you bring that up, or that you're like dealing with this because about to drop a bomb here, everybody. But I'm part of a Bible study, which I know a lot of you probably are like, wow, shocking. I'm just trying to grow my faith. I don't know what I believe in terms of like specifics because it's not specific for me. But we talked about yesterday, kind of. I don't know. There was a passage or a verse. I really don't know much, but I'm learning as I go. That we read, and it talked about how you can kind of like essentially not admit fault, but like when things are hard or when things are difficult, how can you, make that more of enjoyment or curiosity versus like always being so negative and that's like the talking and things like that. So, if anybody's very spiritual, maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to tell you the verse or the chapter or whatever because I literally have no fucking clue. But anyways, it was just like, how do you give yourself peace and enjoyment? And my thought on it was being curious, like you said, and I think that that can be very insightful and helpful versus, oh man, like I'm doing everything right. Like, what's wrong? It's like, oh, okay. Like, there's not anything wrong. It's just like, what can we learn and how can we grow? And I think that's like really, really important. So, and it takes time to unlearn that in your head. And I was there a couple of years ago in terms of like when I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's. I was like, why did this happen? I am so healthy. I eat whole foods. I bodybuild. I work out. I thought that that was all of it. And I was like, why me? Why is this happening? I'm not doing anything wrong, like X, Y, and Z. And then I, had to get like more curious about it and be like, okay, like it is what it is. How can I grow from this? How can I get better? What can I understand and what can I learn? The next time prep comes around or the rest of my life, because I'll be dealing with this forever. So it really does have to come from a place of curiosity, but it's very hard when
It
that is.
is so hard to unlearn that. Like, I literally cried at the gym just because, again, like, my body's hurting. And, like, again, when you're in prep, like, your brain chemistry ain't right, dog. It's just not fucking right. And so, like, Eric is my safe space and he was able to help me. And it is something where, as silly as it sounds, it's so funny to like hear myself say this out loud, but I need to. It's like I read a book on perfectionism and I thought I would be perfect about it. Like, I thought I'd be perfectly healed after reading this book. And it was one of those things where I was like, I sang out loud. It's like, oh my God, that defeats the purpose. But it's like, again, trying to be okay with hard feelings versus avoiding them entirely and understanding that like feelings, especially like hard feelings, can just be. Like, you don't always need a solution, right? Or even if it is, it's like, be curious about it, but don't pass judgment. And there is that line where it's like again, my struggle is automatically passing judgment.
No, yeah, and that's hard because where the disconnect came from as like a child is where I learned that it's wrong, it's bad. And that's like, I don't even know how you don't instill that in somebody, because like I had the same feelings growing up and I don't want my son to feel that. So it's very interesting to learn how to like teach that or like not have that happen. I don't know, it's weird, it's interesting, but I do hope that obviously, each day gets a little bit better for you. You are learning, you are doing the work. So, with that being said, at some point, like it is going to work out exactly how it's supposed to. You will have peace, you will feel better. It's just getting through the mud to get to where the grass is greener is fucking hard, man. And I commend you. I think you're doing a great job. I know it's difficult, but I'm here for you, and I'm happy that you're actually doing the work and taking action because a lot of people won't.
And I feel like in prep, people like we like all deal with it after prep, but like after prep, like the storm's waiting, you know, like things aren't going to get magically better the minute you step off stage. They're going to get, and again, I don't say this to scare people from bodybuilding, but usually it gets horrendously worse because then you're reversing. You had that huge, like almost like an orgasm where it's like, then you like, you have this big climax, this big orgasm, and then you're just there with your thoughts. And it's like, again, a storm's waiting for you. So it's learning to just like be a part of everything and experience the highs and the lows and, you know, just be okay with it and to accept it and to shake hands with it, which again, like, is just something that I'm like learning about. But I know our topic is not about prep, it's about having a productive off season. And since we are in obviously very drastic places in our journey, like when it comes to the fact that you've had multiple showings, right? So maybe what are like some things that you learned along the way where you're like, oh, I wish I would have done this differently, and so now I'm doing things differently.
What do you mean in terms of like multiple showings? Just clarify that for
Like,
me.
you've competed multiple times
Oh.
and you've had off seasons in between them versus like I just competed because I wanted to see if I liked it and then had like a 5.5 year off season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me, I think, in terms of like last off season versus this off season is obviously my training and my understanding of where I'm at, because So obviously my feedback's like relatively always the same. Grow more glutes. You have a long torso and you need to be leaner. So like, I dude, if I pull up every email from the judges, like they all say the same thing. Be leaner, have more muscle density, maturity, and your torso is really long.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, it is though. Like we, I mean, it looks bad in comparison to other people. It really does. I'll be honest with that. Like when I'm on stage, like, and you're looking for trying to compare everybody, it's very hard to compare, you know, eight girls on stage and seven of them, their ass or their glutes sit at my, you know, rib cage and mine are at the back of their knees. Like that's hard to compare. So, but nonetheless, in terms of off season, like what I wish I have done differently that first time is really, really understand training and really understand my nutrition around training. Those would be my two biggest things. Last time I was on a macro plan where willy-nilly, here's your macros for the day. I was training fasted because I didn't like to eat before then. I don't roll your eyes at me. I know I didn't know any better, right? I did have a coach at the time, but like it just like wasn't a main focus for them. It was just like, here's your macros, hit them, which is fine, right? I was doing what I was told. It just wasn't the best thing for me. So I would say in terms of like that, like my perinutrition, which Ash and I have done like multiple podcasts on, as well as Ash has like a guide for that too, that talks all about it in depth, is really, really focus on that because I feel like that has been a very profound growth factor for me in terms of lining up with that feedback from the judges, fueling your workouts, having enough energy, having enough recovery, rebuilding those muscle fibers in terms of like after you break them down from training, comes from nutrition and rest and recovery. And then obviously my training has been absolutely insane. I've actually learned how to push till failure and I learned how to have really good mechanics.
I like that. And I think it's also really important to understand that, like, you're not going to get it right, most likely, your first off season, unless you have done your homework and you have a really solid coach, right? Like, there is, like, even though I've had a long off season, I view it like different levels because I had, several different coaches during that time. And I leveled up with each coach. And it's something where, like I said, like for the majority of us, you're going to make a lot of mistakes and you're going to make a lot of failures, but it is very important to learn from those failures. And so I saw someone's shirt. I don't know what company it is, but it says Forge Through Failure. And that's something that I'm trying to kind of remember in the back of my head because I do put such a unrealistic high standard on myself where I fail every single time because my reality does not reach this utopia that I have in my brain. And it is something where you acknowledge that, but you work to become better and then decide when it's good enough. And I think we've talked in the past where it's like we kind of shat on good enough. And I think it is really important to understand your mentality as an athlete and having that self-awareness because there are some people that do need to light a fire under their ass. And there are some people that need to learn to reduce the fire or add some ice, right? Kind of like your contrast therapy. Fire and ice are very powerful, but in isolation, they can be very harmful. So like think about touching something really hot, like you're gonna jerk away. If you put like your hand in a thing of ice, eventually it almost starts to recognize it as hot. Like have you ever put like your hand in something that gets like so cold for so long where it goes numb, but it almost feels hot? Like that's something that I have experienced in the past, but it still elicits pain. So it is something where there is like an intensity factor and a duration factor, but then also understanding kind of like the yin and yang of that contrast. Your off season is very similar like that. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn about what works, what doesn't work. And I do think at the end of the day, having a strong foundation where you have the basics mastered or the basics are solid, maybe it's a better choice of words because I don't want someone listening that's a complete beginner that's stressing about their peri-workout nutrition when they don't even know how many calories they're eating. They don't even understand that the asparagus has carbs in it, So it's really important to understand that if you are a total beginner, oh my God, have fun, play around with it. Like, be okay with making mistakes. If you're on the other end of the spectrum where you've been around the world in terms of bodybuilding, for a few rotations, it's like now you get to build upon that professionalism, but also don't forget how much fun you had as a beginner because everything was so new. And that kind of goes back to just like being curious.
No, I think that's like really, really important because like a lot of people do get like stuck in the minutiae and they're like, I need to eat this X, Y, and Z. And there are like, I mean, like if I were to pull up like all of my protocols like for my clients and five of them are all like, hey, I want to grow muscle. All five of them have like a different pre-workout. Like, when are you training? What do you have time for? Like, it's all going to be different. And it's sometimes I'll program something and they're like, I don't feel good training on this. Okay, well, you don't feel good. Let's switch it. You don't have to, everybody doesn't always have to eat the same rice, chicken, and I don't even know, honey, before they train. So it's like, if you don't feel good on that, like you feel really weighted down, like you're not digesting, you don't have enough time for that digestion. Like, why are we doing that? Like, have fun, get creative, try things out. Like, there is no harm in trying something. And if it backfires, like, what do? You just
Yeah,
get a
like learn
plan.
from it.
Yeah. And I think that also too is like really helped with my off season too, in terms of really trying to grow and really trying to build that bikini shape, because there's been new movements in terms of training that I've had to do that I never thought I would be doing. Because I'm like, oh, like someone told me, like, I mean, last off season, I didn't train my delts at all, for I'm not even kidding. It was probably like a whole year. It was probably like 10 months. I did not do a single lateral raise, overhead press, nothing in terms of training my delts. Like, sure, they got hit like, secondary here and there. Like, if I was doing, I don't know, like a plank or a push up or some shit like that, which I don't know why I was doing that anyways, but nonetheless. But that was all to balance me out. Like, let's bring your top down because your bottom is so small. To get that bikini balance versus like, but wait, like my glutes still need to grow. We were going so focused on balancing top to bottom and trying to shrink me that it kind of backfired. And now it's like, no, like let's keep your upper body within moderation. Like, let's not blow it out of the proportion that we don't fit, but really, really focus on glutes, have more volume on lower body days versus upper body days to build that balance, but also build that density, build that maturity that I need, that I kept getting that feedback from the judges for. So that was something that was new to me too, is like I had to have an open mind as to like, well, wait, I shouldn't be training delts. I'm scared to train delts. I don't want to, oh my God, no, like I'm gonna be too disproportioned then. And now this is the most proportion I've ever looked when it comes to fitting that bikini criteria per the NPC.
Yeah, I think if we're gonna like focus on maybe two key players on how to optimize your off season, the two that come to my mind are sustainability and consistency, right? And making sure that your off season is sustainable for achieving the growth that you need. And I know this is a very female forward podcast, and it is something where whether you're natural or enhanced or great genetics, shit genetics, regardless of how you identify or what is reality for you, you need time to build muscle. And so making sure that your program has a sense of structure with fun in it, so that way you are able to build upon that sustainability via consistency, right? And making sure that you're not treating your off season as maybe militantly as prep, because you're likely going to get burnt out in 3 months. And then also with that sustainability and consistency, again, still working with your coach to have that programming for you, so that way you can focus on what truly matters, because your coach is going to have your programming when it comes to your training and your nutrition and all the other things that, like, Ash and I provide for our athletes. But also, like, it's still your job and responsibility to have fun when it comes to what you do outside of the kitchen and outside of training. And so keeping that in mind, because not everyone might need a 5-year off season, but you likely need more than a year, year and a half, especially if you're natural, right? So being okay with understanding that these things do take time, and if you're looking at like the macroscope of what your off season is, you're not always going to be, most likely, depending upon how your coach does things, like in such a surplus where you are just like accruing more body fat. So like you shouldn't be gaining, in my opinion, like over 50 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like there needs to be like little micro phases within an off season, so that way you're thinking about digestion, insulin sensitivity, muscle growth, and all of these things, which is something that your coach should have a game plan for, not necessarily you. So again, going back to the fact that you can focus on what matters and makes you happy.
Yeah, no, I think that's like really old school mind mentality is like gaining a bunch of weight, like the bulk, like a dirty bulk, like getting really big. But like this honestly comes with like a lot of health benefits or health benefits, health risks, one. And two, it does honestly like impede growth in terms of like trying to grow muscle. Like if you have a lot of excess weight and inflammation on your body, it's going to make it significantly harder to grow, to digest food, to do all the things that are necessary in order to grow. I think it's interesting that like that's still happening because like you don't like yes, you do have to kind of push past the limits. Ash did a post on that the other day that was really great talking about bodybuilding, like how the two extremes are whether you're in prep or you're in your off season, like you do have to push past like a level of comfort, but you don't have to like far exceed that to the point where you're putting yourself at really high risk for other issues to go on because then you're gonna have to clean up those issues while you clean up your body composition, and that's like kind of sometimes hard to do at the same time.
Right, you got to know like when to push far enough, which is why like having a coach is so impactful, so that way you can remove the emotional bias, because coaches aren't emotional, or at least maybe shouldn't be super emotional in their decision making, because it's something where it's like it requires a lot of attention to detail and a lot of logic to make the best decision for the athletes, or maybe what makes sense in that situation, knowing the athlete's psychological, welfare and like their personality and stuff like that, which, takes time to even build in the first place, which is why, coach hopping during an off season maybe isn't the most beneficial, unless your coach is, blatantly ignoring like things that don't feel right. And again, it's so hard to specifically address every little thing, because there's going to be some people that have had horrible coaching experiences versus some that are great. And it really just does depend on that context. But there are definitely a lot of cues when it comes to a long-term success in that off-season for growing muscle. So that way, when we shred down into, contest prep, you have that physique built. And it goes off of those foundations of consistency, sustainability when it comes to your meal intake, when it comes to your sleep, when it comes to your training and training intensity, overall like recovery programming, and knowing how to push far enough without it being detrimental to the athlete at hand when it comes to their mental or physical health, which is why that comprehensive approach usually works out better, because you're able to see, the entire globe. And I feel like some people think that coaching is kind of like a piece of paper, where it's like a flat earth, flat earthers, where it's like, oh, this piece of paper is like super flat. It's just training, it's just nutrition, and fuck everything else. It's like, no, the programming should be comprehensive. It's a circle, it's a globe, it's 360, right? No matter how you spin it, there is something tangible there. And that likely is going to get the best results for that individual.
Yeah, that was like another thing I was actually going to bring up. So like we talked about like nutrition, we talked about like training, and the other thing that I think has been like really profound for me this growth season versus last is recovery. Like 1,000%. Like I actually train less days, so I recover more, I recover harder. And then I'm sleeping a lot better. I didn't think sleep was important. I remember like during my last off season is when Alex and I first started dating. Like, I would get off work at 11 p.m. at night. I would go home, I would shower, I would go to his house, I would stay at his house till like 4 o'clock in the morning, go home, sleep for like maybe 3 hours, and then like go to the gym and go on with my day. And I did that like 4 times a week. Like
Oh my
just not,
God.
yeah. And like not only just like not sleeping, but like driving back and forth between our houses, between work at midnight, at 3 a.m. It was just like crazy. Like now for me, I'm like, oh my God, I can't drive past 7 p.m. Like that's just way too much stimulus. There's way too
Dude,
many lights outside.
same.
Dude, I know I won't. I hate driving at night now. It's so funny. I'm just like, no, there's too much going on out there. Like I need it to be calm and quiet. I can't listen to the horns or the tires rolling. Like it's too much for me, and I won't be able to sleep. It's so funny now because, but my sleep's been like really good. I got a Garmin watch. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Ayo.
And I know Ash and I have talked about like tracking and things like that. And it's been interesting. It tells me that my sleep score is pretty good. But I already knew that was kind of happening because my sleep the last month has been really fantastic. But it's cool to see that. Like, I wish I would have had one that was like when I was doing a bunch of dumb shit because my sleep score probably would have been like really low. And it would have just been cool to like see that, even though like a number's not going to dictate how I feel, obviously, but like I know that it's so much better now that I just like wanted to see how like shitty it was. Like I wanted to see how low that fucking number was. Like how low could I get it with my horrible past habits?
Yeah, but it is one of those things where, again, like going back to like the idea of like, what is sustainable for you? It's like for you, that doesn't like overwork you or overstimulate you to have that data and that information, right? But some people, like, they don't want to track every little fucking thing in their off season, like their sleep score, their HRV, their heart rate, their blood glucose. And there's, again, a time and place for tracking these metrics. But when it comes to sustainable off season, like, there needs to be some level of like individualness factored into the client's programming when it comes to like, okay, if they're feeling like too uncomfortable in their body, it's like, okay, well, maybe instead of doing like body weight every single day, can we do it a few times a week to see an average? Can we do measurements and photos? Like, is there something that we can create where it doesn't completely ruin your mental health? Like, can we get you to be supported in therapy to address the inner demons? It's like, again, making sure that the client's mental state is just as quote unquote on track as the physical state. So that way, that sustainability and that consistency is hit. Because at the end of the day, it's like there's no direct protocol or specific programming that we can immediately give right now that's going to work for every single person. Like we can be like, oh, this is the best way to optimize your glute training and do this, this, and this, and you're going to have a fat donk. But it's like, respecting the context of the client, respecting the personhood to make sure that their off season is the most productive for them. And also understanding that their goals need to be reflective in their programming because not every client wants to be an IFBB pro. Not every client wants to get first call outs even. Like there are some clients that just like want to compete in the sport. And that might go against what you want to provide as a coach, in which case maybe you don't work with that athlete. But also, again, making sure you respect if the athlete is happy and progressing to not just push them into the state of burnout, because that kind of goes both ways where, a coach and client maybe aren't aligned with the client's end goal, or maybe there needs to be a conversation on is the goal realistic and can the programming reflect that goal? Or does your work ethic reflect that goal based on your context as well? So again, like there's so many working parts when it comes to designing like an optimal off season and making sure that it works for that specific individual.
No, I think that's true because like it will become like unenjoyable, not enjoyable. I don't
Yeah,
know.
you won't be having fun. So then it misses the point of being sustainable. And then also you're likely lacking consistency too, because you're probably cheating.
Well, yeah, that, but like also too, like it can also get oh my God, I have a girl like this right now, but like they think that that's like they see results from it though. Like say they do see results. Okay, it's not enjoyable, they don't like it, but they see the results, then they become so glued to it that they're like, this is the only way. And then like it literally becomes so toxic for them. Like I said, I have a girl right now. She was running like 5 times a week, doing CrossFit, training twice a day. And she's like, this is the only way I was able to see results. But like I hate doing all this. Like I have no time to do anything else because I mean they're at the gym, I'm running, or I'm at CrossFit class, or I'm working. And I was like, you don't have a fucking life. Like this is insane. Like, no wonder you're not happy. So it's been like a lot of like pulling back, finding what works for her. In terms of like getting that more enjoyment. And now she's like, oh my God, like I love actually going to the gym. It doesn't feel like such a chore because I love the movements I'm doing. I'm not spending 4 hours a day there, X, Y, and Z. And now we're starting to see that positive growth in her body, her getting leaner, X, Y, and Z. But like it had to align with her goals because she was someone that like actually was gonna try bodybuilding. And she was like, I don't like this, I can't do this, but she saw those results at first, like got down whatever. Pounds. So for the last 3 years, she's just been doing more and more and more, which is kind of what bodybuilding is at times, right? So for her, it just like wasn't enjoyable, and that's fine because not everybody wants to be an IFBB pro, and that's where there's a disconnect, I think.
Absolutely. Not everyone's goal wants to be an IFBB pro, and not everyone should be bodybuilders, right? Like there are some people and some physiques and some genetic makeups that just aren't for the sport. And again, it's not identifying as a competitive bodybuilder as your sole purpose in life, right? Like if every single person was an IFBB pro bodybuilder, it'd be like, what the fuck's the point? Like, well, like literally, what's the point? So it's something where understanding like what you need and truly going back to like why you want to do what you want to do and does it make sense? So that way, like when you have like a goal that is reasonable and attainable, you then work together with your coach to focus on building up those habits to be both consistent and sustainable, not just for like your off season, but for a prep and even the rest of your life, right? So it's something where, again, like let time do its part and do the right things. Like, don't be so focused on a timeline that you're not making real meaningful changes, right? So maybe that can be like the third point is sustainability, consistency, and letting time do its part. Because if you have all of the right variables in check that make sense for you and your goals and your body and your life and your context, stay there and make as much progress as you need to hit that end goal. But I know a lot of the times, especially when the New Year's hits, it's like SMART goals where it has to be like timeline focused. And not always, right? Not always does it need to have a concrete data, a concrete time, because life happens in between the goal that you've set for yourself and when you reach that goal, right? So I think it's a lot more important to keep a sustainable pace in the right direction versus just, again, like putting everything that you have into a 3, 6, maybe even 1 year commitment with a coach, and then being so gassed at the end of it that like all you do is like your client is like, I'm just in the gym. And like that's a miserable life. And like you've been there, I've been there. So again, it's like focus on what you can control, focus on what like is meaningful to you, what you can let go as a person. And that way you're able to make it a physique that you're proud of, a journey that you're proud of. Because I'm sure a lot of people may look at their stage photos and initially may be really, really happy and really, really proud of themselves, but there might be some that remember the journey and being like, oh fuck, bodybuilding, this wasn't worth it, right? Because they just didn't do things that were in a way that really made sense for them. And instead of working together with the right coach and having the right programming and right plan for themselves, it's fuck that coach, fuck bodybuilding, fuck the sport. This thing is just disordered, right? So it's again just reflecting like you do pay to play. So why don't we do it right? Like you're going to be spending thousands of dollars. So let's do it right.
And it's not like, I don't know. I also think it's like not always like the sport's fault. I mean, sure, it's not for everybody, and that's fine, right? Like, it doesn't have to be for you. You don't have to like it, you don't have to enjoy it. But like, I do think that like you get to make it as enjoyable as you want it to be, right? Like, does that make sense? Because I think about like my first prep, and it was like, I have to do this. This is terrible. Blah blah blah. Like, I was just like such in a bad spot, like just overall. And it wasn't even the sport. It was like my fucking life and my outlook on life. And then last prep, like, it honestly was just so fun, and it was just like, all right, we're doing this. I mean, yeah, it was fucking hard. I had hard days. I had bad days. There were days where like, I didn't want to do some of the things because I was just so tired, so exhausted, and my brain chemistry was off. But in terms of like the enjoyment, like, I definitely found things that I thought were like more enjoyable. I had a lot of things going on outside of prep, and like, you get to make that your experience. And I think that that is really profound too, in terms of like working on your relationship with yourself in the off season too, because that's what makes the journey a lot more enjoyable, a lot more fun.
Yeah.
And
Because
then,
like you said, you can make it as fun as you want. And then on my side, you can also make it as miserable as you want. Right. And is that perception. And we're not going to say that everything's honky dory. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm not tired. I'm not grumpy. My tummy doesn't hurt. Like, everything's perfect. But in reality, it's like you're asking so much of yourself that your body is like pushing back. Forget exactly what Eric said to me, but like, I think it was along the lines of like you're doing something very hard and very extreme, and your body doesn't like it. It's like, yes, because this is an extreme sport. So it's like also understanding if you were wanting to take bodybuilding to a level that's competitive, that's where that extremeness comes in. But you can also be, in my opinion, a bodybuilder without ever wanting to compete and step on stage, right? Like that to me is perfectly fine. In fact, I wish more people would do that because, to the point of my post, it's like there are some things that bodybuilding can ingrain in you of healthy habits that make you a healthier, happier person by bringing awareness to your nutrition, bringing awareness to, your hydration, your recovery, your training, your steps. It's like being physically active and being mentally healthy Bodybuilding can give you that if you take the right approach, if you have the right programming, the right guidance, right? So it is one of those things where if you're wanting to take this to an extreme level, you have to understand that with that are going to come consequences, which is why when you are in your off season, you want to do it for as long as possible to give yourself the best chance when it comes to the reverse of your off season, i.e., being a contest prep, right? You want to give yourself the best chance at bringing your best.
And I feel like that's where like it has to stay like kind of like within that window of like bringing your best, because I also comparison becomes an issue too. And I like for me, like comparing me to somebody else's journey is just like the downfall of it all. So like when we talk about like what makes this off season more successful for me and like how am I doing it, it's like I am literally comparing it to my previous off season, the whatever the fuck I was doing before I even started my first prep. I don't even call that an off season. I don't know what I was doing, but it was terrible. Learning how to be an athlete, let's go with that. So from an athlete to first off season to second off season, I'm literally only comparing like apples to apples, and I am my own apple. Like I am not trying to compare to somebody else, because then again, like that's going to be insane. Like, you know, and you're not going to see as much progress if you're always in somebody else's lane. So I think like that's important too when it comes to like having a successful off season to get that physique that you want, because if you're constantly comparing, like it's going to add stress onto your body and your psyche, and then like you're going to lose sleep. You could have terrible training sessions consistently. You may not even follow your coach's plan because somebody else is doing something and then you're fucking off trying to copy that. I've seen that happen before. And then you look the fucking same that you did 2 years ago, the last time you stepped on stage. So what progress did you really make? And it's like, are you going to be happy with that? Probably not.
Absolutely. Which is why, again, it's like it goes back to like not holding yourself to such a high standard where it's no longer sustainable and you can't be consistent. And so for some of us, it's going to be working on our perfectionism, right? And like, while yes, your coach can help in some regards, you still need to own up the fact that you likely need therapy. You need to be doing some inner work with like books, having a good support system. And I know that maybe isn't the scope of this podcast today, but again, like if you want your off season to be productive, making sure that you're a productive person outside of just the realm of bodybuilding. Because again, that is where that sustainability comes in. And I've had many like micro phases within the macro scope of my off season where I have done things to just do them for being perfect, to get an A plus or whatever. And I forgot myself as a person, and that's still my struggle, is forgetting like the fact that I am flawed, that I, am human, that bodies break, minds get tired. And again, grounding myself so that way I am able to still be a person outside of just competing, because eventually, like, I won't always want to compete, you know what I'm saying? And I want to make sure that I'm still okay outside of who I am in the gym. And I feel like a lot of competitors also struggle with that because they feel like in their off season, they're ignored by their coach, or maybe they're ignored by social media because like they're quote unquote not shredded anymore and they look like a healthy person and they're like, oh, well, I'm not as valuable then. So it's like, again, reminding yourself and grounding yourself and having like an anchor to pull you back into reality of like prep, and especially contest prep in terms of like your stage, is a day for maybe like, if we're being honest, like I think we'd be blessed with 20 minutes on stage. Like all of that for 20 minutes in a photo. And maybe even 20 minutes is too generous, like depending upon the size of the show or whatever. But it's like you're doing all of this for stage photos and 20 minutes, maybe.
So honestly, like, you know what's funny is like I really like show day only because of the fact like it's all about me. And like I don't even care. Like getting on stage and like whatever. Like I just like the fact that like I become like the sole purpose of the day. And I think like that probably sounds like shitty. I don't know, but for someone like me who like is constantly giving as a nurse, as a mom, as a girlfriend or whatever it is, like to have that day where it's all about you, really thoroughly enjoy that. And it could be like anything. And I that's something that I've carried into my off season. Like Thursdays are days for me, so like I do 100% agree that like a successful off season also comes with like finding out who you are, who is your identity as well outside of just bodybuilding, just the gym, just the stage, just that identity on social media. Like, you really do have to find yourself because, like you said, you're not going to compete forever. You're not going to do this forever. So, in terms of like stepping away, like, who are you at the core? And that was something that I did not have prior to my first show. I just like consumed that identity. And then when the show was over, like, people stopped paying attention to me on Instagram. I actually left Instagram for a while there, to really find out who I was, because
Yeah.
when it was over, I felt like I had nothing.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I completely agree with all of that. Like, just it's okay to be proud of yourself and highlight yourself on social media, which is kind of like the whole point is to make social media about yourself, you know, or your business or whatever the fuck. But it's like, don't lose yourself to social media. And like, I know, especially if you're a coach and you use social media as your marketing and your athletes tag you and stuff like that, like you kind of have a obligation to Instagram, but you also have an obligation to protecting your peace and giving yourself like the ability to soothe, which is something that again, even I'm working on by like setting better boundaries, not multitasking as much. And that's something that I'm also looking forward to when it is my time to enter into an off season and, you know, restoring my health, both physically and mentally, is like being less glued to my phone and screens and more just in life. And again, I'm doing that now. I'm starting those habits now, even in prep, because even if they're not fixing the root cause of this level of central nervous system, like fatigue and burnout, just because prep is fucking hard, like I know that it's also helping too. Because imagine on the flip side, devil's advocate, or, you know, maybe just being curious, what if I wasn't doing these things? What if I wasn't taking time to like listen to my guided meditation, to sit and read books, to be outside with my cats? It's like, shit, things could be a lot worse. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if your tendency is to be like overtly negative and especially like hard on yourself, challenge yourself. Like, what's the other side of the coin? Like, imagine if you weren't doing these things, or you know, what are the positives of this challenge and this outcome? Like Ash said, what are you learning? Right. And I think that's something that's also important to set up in your off season to make it sustainable and consistent. So that way you are again well-rounded and you're able to hang in there as long as you need to when it comes to that time piece to bring your best.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. Like, it, 'cause it is, like, we go back to the beginning or semi beginning of this, it's comprehensive,
Yeah.
not just protocols, but like in your life too.
Any final thoughts? That's all I got.
No, I think that's good. You know, we talked about training, nutrition, identity, recovery. Those are all things that are good when it comes to having a successful off season. And I think, like, time, well, you said time as well, like, it's just time, especially if you're natural, like the
Yeah.
shit. But that essentially sums it up for me.
Cool. Anything that, any fun questions?
If you could be a bug, what bug would you be? Or what bug wouldn't you be? I know which one I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be a ladybug. I don't like them.
Interesting. I feel like I'd want to be a butterfly.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's a good one.
I don't know. I just feel like I would be either a butterfly or a honeybee. Just.
Oh, bee's a good one. For some reason, my first thought was a grasshopper. I don't know why.
Those things are pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie. I wouldn't want to be a spider, not because like I don't think spiders are cool, but because like people will actively want to hurt me. You know
Yeah,
what I'm
like,
saying?
you have like a death sentence just because of who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question. I like that question.
Yeah, I don't like ladybugs. It's weird because they're cute, but I don't like them. I wonder if I have like some PTSD. I
Do
wonder
you
if I.
not like ladybugs, or do you like the other ones? Because there's a ladybug and there's also like a dupe of a ladybug.
No, I don't even know about the dupes because I did no ladybug research because
Yeah.
I don't want to look at a picture of them.
Yeah, there's the ladybug and then there's I don't know what it's called, but it's like there's the ladybug like lookalike. It's
Is it
kind of
the.
like the there's a monarch butterfly and then there's another butterfly that looks like the monarch, but it's not a monarch butterfly. It's like those things in nature that like it's just nature's so freaking cool. Like it just like it knows itself because like I feel like the monarch has something where if it's eaten, it has like a defense mechanism. And so this species of butterfly evolved to look at the monarch, so then it wouldn't be fucked with.
No, yeah, so it's like a poser, but it makes sense.
Yeah. But grasshoppers are still pretty cool. Oh, I know the question that I asked Laura and Meg in the physique forum, and I want to know your answer. So take away from the equation like skill. But if you were going to punch a mammal in the face, what mammal do you think that in your first and only punch you would knock out the first try?
Question. It like, do I have to chase the mammal too?
No, like the mammal is just sitting in front of you. Its arms are tied back. Like you just get the, it's your bitch boy. But you get
Oh.
one good punch and you got to make it count.
Oh, a chipmunk. I'd be so successful.
You see, this is something where, like, that's a fine answer, but then Eric went full on, like, retard.
Of course, Eric did. Okay, just for sure.
Dude, a dude. So he literally was like, but you have to keep in mind, like, the force behind your fist and the generation of force momentum to the creature.
Velocity, like he
Dude,
went
no, like legit though. So why you couldn't actually knock out a chipmunk is because it's too small. So
oh,
your kinetic energy from your fist would not knock it out. It would just send it across the street. You know what I'm saying? So like it wouldn't
I do,
actually
and it
knock
makes
it
sense. It's
out.
valid, and I hate Eric for it, so now like my answer is stupid.
Yeah, so like your answer should just be Eric because you probably could knock out that fucker in one shot.
That your answer?
No, my answer was a koala.
Oh, but they're so cute, but that is good.
But
Yeah.
they have chlamydia, so like
Oh, they do. Fun
I don't
fact.
know. I always heard that they had chlamydia. Most do.
That's where it started, is the koala, and then somebody fucked a koala, and now humans have
I'm not a zoologist, but like makes
it.
sense to me.
We're gonna end on that note, everybody.
Sounds good. And the next time, peace.
Adios.